the Brown Girl Podcast. This show was created to elevate the voices and perspectives of dual identity South Asians around the world. Here we have conversations on topics and issues that impact our community, as well as share the stories of personal successes and the struggles that often go unsaid. My name is Julie George, and I'm your host. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Thanks for joining me today. Today's episode is with Genova Damian Pryor, and we are discussing Blindian relationships, that is, Black and Indian relationships. So Genova is based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she comes from a Malayali Indian background. Her husband, Denzel, is Black, and their wedding vows went viral in 2022 when her husband stated part of his vows in Malayalam.
I'm going to speak a little Malayalam here. Nyan ende badiya. Kandu Pidachu.
Yes.
For no one here who speaks Malayalam, I just said I found my wife. Ende Nidi Kandu Pidachu. I found my treasure. Enika.
So precious and so thoughtful that he took it upon himself to learn that. So you can listen to the full video if you'd like. I've listed a link to it in the show notes. I did cut that abruptly, as you can tell. But in today's conversation, we dive into Genova's Blindian relationship journey, everything about how she met her husband, how she told her parents and family what they do to keep their marriage strong, advice that she has for others, and what it was like navigating a Black and Indian relationship and some of the challenges that have come along with that. Because as we all know, in brown culture, there's definitely a lot of stereotypes and racism and anti-Blackness that exists in our culture. And so it's just, I think, really lovely to see their relationship unfold and be able to challenge these negative perceptions and views that still may exist. So I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. Here's Genova. It seems like you do a lot of different things between real estate, maybe some coaching, some other business ventures. Like, I can tell from your online presence, you're big on empowerment and mindset and wealth building, all the stuff we love. So yeah, tell us your background and who you are.
Yeah, so Julie, you're Malayali, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Malayali, daughter of immigrant parents. I think most of your guests are, I believe. So I'm an entrepreneur, real estate investor. I'm into fashion. I'm creative. I love to encourage and empower people. Naturally, just a very confident person. My mom just raised me that way. Both my parents did. But my mom was very much an advocate of being confident and just, you know, showing up as yourself fully. And so I really love to help others feel that way as well. And also just helping, being as, like, I'm a Christian. So just being a servant of God. And so fulfilling my purpose here.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you 100% Malayali?
I am. Both of my parents are Malayali.
Okay. And is Damian your maiden name?
Damian is my maiden name.
So I'm curious what the origin of your last name is, because I have never met a Malayali with the last name of Damian. So I'm wondering if there's a unique story there, because it's not the typical Thomas or Matthew or George, you know?
Yeah. So my home name is Varakutatho. But when my dad came here, he wanted to make sure that his children really didn't have a hard time with their last name. So he had made his middle name his first name and his first name his last name.
My dad's
name is Peter Damian.
Okay, cool. So, you know, how I learned about you was you had some videos from your wedding go viral where your husband was speaking part of his vows in Malayalam. It was so beautiful. You guys were featured on Times of India, India Today, so many different publications. So tell us first about your love story. Like, how did you meet your husband? You know, how long did you guys date for? Tell us all of the origins about your relationship.
Yeah, so I've known my husband for a really long time. I've met him when we were like 17, 18 years old. And actually, my first year of college, he's a year younger than me, actually. So my first year of college, he was taking classes at my school, at my university, when he was in high school. And so we met in class one day through like one of his friends that was a friend of mine. And we stayed in touch over the years, nothing crazy, just like Facebook friends. And he would message me randomly and we'd stayed connected. And then maybe about 10 years later, I like ran into him randomly at Wawa when I was working in Center City.
And Wawa for us non-East Coasters, that's like a gas station or a convenience store or something.
Yeah, it is a gas station. It is kind of like a convenience store, but it's just like elevated more. It's not
Okay.
like a Sunoco. Like it's,
Okay.
you can get like order. I don't know how to, what I would compare it to.
Have you been to Buc-ee's in Texas or the South?
No. Yeah,
Okay.
no. I wouldn't name it a convenience store. I would name it more like, I guess 7-Eleven is a convenience store, but it's just like a better convenience store. But Wawa is just more elevated. It's an elevated convenience store and gas station, I would say.
Hey y'all, I want to take a quick break to tell you about Pajama Sutra, a South Asian-owned loungewear brand on a mission to inspire women to lounge like a goddess. Pajama Sutra offers an exquisite range of loungewear that includes robes, caftans, rompers, pajamas, and matching mommy and me sets that bring luxury to your everyday life. All of their pieces are made of 100% cotton voile fabrics, block printed by hand, and free of harsh chemicals and dyes. Pajama Sutra robes are known for a fit and flare silhouette that flatters like a wrap dress, and it's no surprise that they were chosen as the official robe of the Miss Universe competition 3 years in a row. Pajama Sutra also carries these amazing, affordable, curated gift boxes filled with South Asian-inspired treasures for any occasion. Think bridesmaid proposal boxes, birthdays, anniversaries, and beyond. Discover their full collection at www.thepajamasutra.com or check the show notes for more details. Use code BGPODCAST for 15% off. And now back to our episode. Okay, so you guys met in college and then reconnected all of these years later. You bumped into each other. How did you know that he was the one?
I think I knew early on when we were dating just certain things about him. He's very caring and generous, understanding and patient and very family oriented, even though he may not have had a very close upbringing with his family, but always wanted that. And just such a gentleman and very respectful. So just certain things about him that I really loved. And he's very ambitious and hardworking, very intelligent. And so, I think when I saw certain traits that I really admired and I felt aligned with who I would like to be married to, that's when I was like, oh, okay, I'm pretty sure this is the guy. This is the one.
Right.
But
And how long did y'all date for before you got married?
before we got married, we were dating for 5 years, but we got engaged when it was like 3.5 years during COVID. So our wedding process took a little longer because of COVID, and we wanted to try to make sure that we were kind of out of COVID before we got married, so we wouldn't have any issues with our wedding venue or like with guests and stuff like that. We still had a few hiccups because we were towards the end of COVID, I guess. But yeah, so that's why when we got married, we had been together for 5 years.
So you had these videos of your wedding vows that went viral. Was that something that just was put up on TikTok? Was it on Instagram? Like, where did it first originate?
I think I posted it initially on TikTok. I honestly wasn't even going to post it, to be honest, because I was really like, oh, I kind of want to like keep this for myself or just like the people that were there. But then I was like, it's kind of cute. Like, let's just post it. I had no idea that it would take off the way that it did. I think I initially posted it on TikTok and it went viral like within like the first hour or two. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. But there was really great feedback about it. And I think there was just really beautiful feedback about it. So I just was like, oh, maybe I'll post this on Instagram too and see how like it goes. But also thinking like I just felt like messaging behind everything that he was saying was so beautiful. And I think a lot of people just have stereotypes about our dynamic as an Indian woman and a Black man. And I just think that it just kind of went against a lot of those narratives or stereotypes that people have of our dynamic. And so I thought it was like a good thing to share. And I shared on Instagram that it went viral there too. So.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk more about like some of the stereotypes and the challenges, a little bit later, but how would you describe the impact that those videos going viral had on your life? Like, would you say it totally changed your life, or would you say things were more or less the same after?
I think on my platforms helped a lot, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't want to say totally changed my life because I feel like my life still was always very beautiful. I think it just made things a lot more beautiful. I think I have specific values that I stand for, and I'm definitely an advocate for a lot of the injustices that happen to African American people and their community. So I think for me, a lot of what came from that was very productive and positive. And I think also for our community, I think our community can be very judgmental, racist, classist. There's a lot of beautiful things about our community, but I think also showing that aspect of, you know, my husband and what I have tons of African-American friends, and being loving and sweet and thoughtful and considerate like that are something that I would align with a lot of them. So being able to like show that was definitely, I guess I would say in a way, life-changing, because we were able to show that to the world.
Yeah. I love it. And, you know, what was your like history of previous relationships before your husband? Like, did you ever date any Malayali guys before that? Were you ever attracted to Malayali guys? Were you always attracted to like Black guys? What was kind of your dating journey like in that cultural context?
Yeah. So in high school, I only, you know, when you're in high school, you like, we like talk to boys and stuff as a secret. And all of who I talked to when I was in high school were all Indian Malayalis. And then when I got to college, I just became more open-minded about it. And I just had dated a mixture of Black, Spanish, white. And so it just so happened that my most serious relationships, which were like two or three, were always with African-American men, but I've dated like everybody.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And what was your family environment like growing up? Like, were your parents really culturally conservative? Like, did they try to encourage you to date Malayali guys or, you know, Indian guys? Or were they pretty open to you dating outside our culture? Like, what was that kind of dialogue like growing up for you?
Yeah, my parents were very strict. They were extremely strict. And I think after, I think like middle of my college career, I think I don't even want to say they started to be open-minded then. They were still really strict throughout college, to be honest. But I would say in my mid-20s, I was just very adamant about being like more open-minded. I had tons of friends that were outside of the Malayali community that, you know, they had met and that I had like introduced them to and stuff like that. So I think they slowly started to become more open-minded. And I think they really were like, okay, we just want our daughter to be happy.
Yeah.
But growing up, they were extremely strict. I had a very like tough upbringing because of how strict my parents were. Yeah.
Well, it definitely seems like your parents have fully embraced your husband. Like, I saw the videos of your mom and dad, and like your dad helping him put on a munda and your mom teaching him Malayalam. Like, it's so sweet and endearing to see. Yeah, I think like my family is really culturally I have a pretty culturally conservative Malayali family. My parents, my aunts and uncles, they all want us to marry within our culture, and that was like something that was kind of drilled into me quite a bit growing up. And so about 10 or 12 years ago, my cousin got married to a white woman, and he was the first to do that, and it was so dramatic, like so unnecessarily dramatic. And now fast forward 10 or 13 years, like they are such a good model of what a healthy, truly like a supportive marriage and relationship is. And now everyone loves her. And I think it was such a good, I think, learning experience for them going through that process, because they all got on board and it was such an eye-opening experience for them to have their own like internal, you know, narratives and stigmas be challenged in that way. And like, I've seen so many shitty, like unhealthy marriages, and these are brown people married to brown people, Malayalis married to other Malayalis, and so many of them are not happy. And I think it just goes to show at the end of the day, like, this is someone you're going to be spending the rest of your life with. And so who you choose to marry can single-handedly impact the trajectory of your life, like how happy you are, your personal growth, your financial state, your career, like everything. And so you really need to let someone's character and who they are as a person be the most important weighing factor in deciding your life partner.
Yes.
And so how did your parents react when you told them initially about your relationship with your now husband?
So when me and my husband started dating, I was around like 26, 27. And there was only like one other person I had introduced my parents to, which I was like a lot younger. And I think they were a lot more strict then. And they were like, no, like, what's happening? Like, whatever.
And was and that guy Malayali?
No, he was African. Yeah, he was African American. And so they were like a little open-minded about it, but very on edge. I was a lot younger too. I was like 19 or 20 years old.
Okay.
And I just felt like I am very outspoken, and I thought it was a disservice to my ex at the time, my boyfriend, to keep him a secret. I had met all his family, and I just felt like it was wrong. And so I just had told my parents about it. They weren't really happy, to be honest, at that time. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want to like talk about it too much, and slowly kind of got open about it. But then it was still really weird and iffy. And so then when that relationship ended, for other reasons outside of like us being from different communities, when that relationship ended, I was single for a really long time, in the sense of like I didn't introduce anybody to my parents, because I obviously didn't want to just bring anybody home. My ex, I thought at that time, was really somebody I thought I was going to get married to. But I was single for a while. I didn't want to introduce anybody to my parents, and I wasn't really in anything that serious that I thought was going to lead to marriage. So when I had introduced my parents to Denzel, I think they were starting to get like, is she going to get married? Like, going on, you know? Does she have anybody she's interested in? We only heard about that one guy, and then we never heard about him after, you know, whatever. So when I introduced them, they were really like, I think hesitant, but still really like excited to meet him, because I think I was a little older. I had like graduated. I had a good career. You know, I had things going for myself. So I think they were like a little bit more open-minded and like excited to meet my husband. I mean, at the time, my boyfriend, I told my parents I'm dating somebody and I would really love for you to meet him. And my dad was like, okay, like, we'll make dinner. We'll have him over for dinner and stuff. And so then I think for them, they were just more so, oh, is he going to be able to provide for you if you guys get married? What does that aspect look like? But I don't think at that time they were really like too concerned about him being African American.
Okay.
I think they were just more like, whoa, she's like dating somebody. This is good news. Like, you know, we
she found somebody.
Anything. She found someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Got it. Got it. That's awesome. I mean, that's great. And like, so you weren't scared that they were going to like disown you or alienate you or anything like that. It seemed like they were starting to become more open-minded over the years.
I think I've still had fears of that. You just don't know.
Right.
But I know my parents love me. I had a feeling it would be okay, but you just never know. And I think I just wasn't sure. I just really wasn't sure. I was optimistic, though. And my dad seemed, both my parents seemed a little open. My mom was more like, oh, I'm not sure. But then my husband's just such a lovable person. It's like so hard not to like him. Everyone likes him. So honestly, like when they met, they really just grew to love him, you know, and liked him even initially, which is funny, but. Not funny, but the first meeting, it didn't go as scary as I thought it was going to go. And, you know, they eventually like, they liked him and then they loved him and now we're all so close. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And I guess from like the broader community, you know, whether it's your extended family or church community, did you experience any kind of backlash or negativity from people regarding your relationship?
Not from my extended family. So in my family, my parents were like the more stricter parents compared to the other parents in the family. There were some family members that were like a little like, God, what is happening? Mm-hmm. What's this? And just like, you know, I don't want to say they weren't on board, but you could tell that they were put off from it. Certain family members, not everybody. Like I would say 3/4 of my extended family was very loving and accepting towards him. And then there was like a fourth of them that might have been like, just like, I'm going to say weirded out, but just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
What's this, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are the families that had just come over here, I would say more recently, as far as my mom's side of the family has been here since the 70s. So they're a little bit more, I guess, I don't want to say that they're Western, but they're more open-minded about certain things.
Right.
And then I think some of the other families have just come here like late 90s, the early 2000s. So I think that for them, it was a lot more like, what is happening?
Yeah. Got it. Got it. And how has it been for your husband, Denzel, integrating with your Malayali family and Malayali culture?
He loves it. He loves my family. He's actually very grateful for everyone and how welcoming they've been. And no one's ever I don't think anybody's treated him badly. But, you know, like there's some people that have been hesitant to be like, oh, like, what is he like? But no one's ever been outwardly treated him badly or anything. Everyone's been pretty kind and courteous, but with respect, as I would hope that they would be. And he loves our culture. He's just like very into learning about our culture, our language. He loves Indian food, which is like so great.
What's his favorite dish? Does he have a favorite Kerala dish?
My mom makes really good fish curry and he loves her fish curry. He loves it. Yeah, he loves fish curry. And he's like, he hasn't been eating as much chora anymore, but because he had like gained some weight
Yeah.
and because of all the rice. But definitely like bean curry and chora are one of his favorite like Kerala dishes, I would say. Yeah.
I love it. And what about like the in-laws, you know? I mean, it seems like your family gels pretty well with him, but how was it for you getting integrated with his family and like the in-laws? Like, what was that kind of experience for you like?
My experience wasn't bad. I hit it off with his family very well. I'm like one of the first women that he's introduced to his family, so
Okay.
they really loved me, and I didn't have any issues really,
Okay. So there
honestly.
was no
So
opposition from his side, like to try to marry like another African American.
no, I don't think so. I mean, I think there was like, I don't think a lot of people outside of the Indian community are like closer to the Indian community know a lot about the Indian community. They just know how some Indians might have treated them. You know, our people aren't always the kindest people to African American people, which is just like the reality of it. So I think their experiences, like what they've heard about Indians, or like their own experiences of what they might have experienced with Indian people. But when they met me, they were very kind, very respectful people, loving, loud. But my family's loud too, so that wasn't much different for me. So it was nice. I didn't have any opposition or anything as far as his family.
Got it. Okay. So I think one common narrative that we often hear from our parents or others who are opposed to marrying outside our culture is the fear of, quote, losing our culture. So do you think that you are or have, quote, lost parts of your Malayali culture by not marrying another Malayali? And how do you kind of, if it's important to you, like, how do you kind of think about preserving and passing on Malayali culture to your future children?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think maybe if I had married a different man, might have happened that my culture would be like maybe watered down. I don't know. Denzel is so invested in our culture and like learning about our culture, so like I personally feel like I've gotten even more into our culture because of him. You know, not
Okay.
because of him, but just because of his like questions and his curiosity and his like interest in learning.
Like he really wants to learn about your culture,
Yeah, and
about the
he's
Malayali culture, yeah.
right, and it's important to me, right? I think also that was like another thing that I was like, oh, this is probably the thing to be my husband, because he's so invested in learning about our culture. And I grew up doing Vadnatyam, so like I've always been very into our culture, and the majority of like my best friends are Indian or Malayali. And so seeing how curious he was to get to know Malayali culture and like being so attentive to the culture, like our family dynamics, the food, the language, all of those things definitely was like very endearing to me, because I felt like it was such a priority to him, and he knew that it was how important it was to me. And so I don't feel like I've missed out personally, or that it's been watered down. That hasn't been my experience. And as far as how we'll raise our children, it's going to be different, because they'll be mixed. They'll be the best of both worlds. You know, that's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think I probably would do similar things that I did. My aunt is a Vadnatyam dancer, and she has her own school. She teaches dance. So like I definitely will make sure all of my kids are dancers. And I think that was such a big way that I learned about our culture, is through dancing and through being so close to it. Clothing, you know, all of it. Music, songs, like our community in general. Majority of my friends, I've met them through dance school. So
Yeah.
I think I definitely will be intentional about that, because I think our children will be able to learn so much from our culture through dance. And I'm very close to my family, so immediate and extended, all my cousins, we're all very close. We're like siblings almost, that's how close we are. And so just making sure that, you know, they're just as close to their family, their Indian side of the family, as much as they are to their African American side of the family. And I do feel like it'll all pass on the way that it's intended to.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I know you alluded to this earlier, but unfortunately, like anti-blackness is definitely like a widespread kind of sentiment, especially in our Malayali community. So I love seeing stories like yours get the attention that it has, because even for people to see things like your relationship, you know, your relationship unfold, and for people to see things like videos of your parents, you know, interacting with your husband, like I think little things like that just helps kind of break certain stereotypes and stigmas that people have about marrying outside our culture and specifically toward Indian and African American relationships. What do you feel are some common misconceptions that people have about Blendian relationships, and how do you kind of address them? We could probably talk on forever about this, but yeah.
Yeah, I think there's so many. I think I get stereotyped to be like a certain woman because I'm married to an African American man. There's a lot of stereotypes. A lot of it isn't like actually like ever said, but it's just the way that people will treat you or like certain things you'll see them judge you in a specific way or look at you a specific way. I think one of them is like, oh, you might lose your culture. Or I think also in not even just a Malayali community, I think a lot of Indians, there's a perception that because of how, not a perception, a lot of Indians look at because of the way that I think a lot of like white people look and perceive Black people as less than or lower than them. They think that by aligning themselves with other African American people will lower their status in this sort of class of America or whatever developing nations that we have. And so I think people think like, oh, if you marry someone who's African American, that means you like you're going from here to here. I think Indians in general will think that like, oh, you're lowering your status in the world, you know, that sort of stereotype. But I don't look at people that way. I think it's just like, I don't know, I have very strong Christian ideals and beliefs, and like Jesus Christ doesn't look at people that way, so
Yeah.
why would I look at people that way? I judge people based on the contents of their character. And if you're a good person and I'm a good person and we align, and if that's the,
Yeah.
you know, like that's just what it is to me. And I'm never going to treat somebody differently based on the color of their skin or where they're from or where their family might be from. It doesn't make sense to me personally.
Yeah. For
I don't
sure.
know.
I mean, if you're in a genuinely supportive partnership that brings you actual joy into your life and like makes your life better, like that's the real flex, right?
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. I mean, I 1000% agree. And I think I, since being with my husband, I've just had the most growth that I've had in my entire life, whether it be like personally, financially, career-wise, in all ways. And I'm so grateful for that. Had I not been with him, I probably wouldn't have had all the growth that I've had, honestly. And he's just so supportive and loving and just such a great person all around. Like, I don't know anyone who has anything really like negative to ever say about him, to be honest. So,
Right.
I think a lot of people have negative stereotypes about Black men. I don't think most of them are true. In my opinion, in my experience, you know, some people might say that I think some stereotypes that I've heard is that they're lazy or, you know, they're not educated or not hardworking, but I've never witnessed that from any of like my African American friends or even the African American men that I've dated. They've always been like the opposite of those stereotypes. So it just doesn't reflect in my life or the people that I know and have been blessed to get to know.
Yeah, I love that. I think one stereotype that comes to mind is like around compatibility because of like cultural differences or the longevity of the relationship. You know, like I know one thing that my parents would always try to say to me when I was younger was like, "Oh, you know, if you marry another Indian, you don't have to worry about them leaving." And that's just like absolutely not true because how compatible you are and the happiness of your relationship comes down to values, interest, mutual respect for each other. Especially in our generation where we have more choices and options, right? Like our parents were the survivalist generation. They were coming to America, they're just trying to survive, they're trying to put food on the table. And if you were in an abusive marriage, it like didn't matter because there were more important matters of like, how do I feed my kids? How do I keep this roof over our head? And so, we don't really have those same hurdles. So, yeah, and you know, any kind of like validation that you would get from your family or community for like marrying within your culture or any kind of pride that you like they may feel just like goes down the drain and like loses its meaning if 5 years later you're in a miserable marriage because you picked someone who isn't really right for you.
Yeah, I think that's very insightful to say. I think things have changed so much now. We are actually starting to see people in our community like starting to get divorced.
Yeah,
And,
for sure.
you know, like a lot of those changes happening. And I think, again, I don't think it really matters whether, like, I personally just don't think that it matters whether or not they're Indian or not. It's just really about, comes down to, is that person really committed to doing the work? Marriage is not easy. Do we have challenges as we are different cultures, for sure. Like, I would never lie and deny that. That is our reality. But the both of us married each other, and we're both extremely committed and devoted and dedicated to one another and our family and the family that we're going to be building together. And, you know, those are our values and those are our morals that we align on. And I definitely think our Christian beliefs align us as well. And I think that has been more stronger to us, or been more of a priority to us than, like, whether he's African American or mm-hmm. I'm Indian, you know? And I think that's always been something that we can always go back to no matter what, is just making sure, like, hey, do we pray today? Do we read scripture? Yeah. Do we go to church? You know, like, are we sowing seeds from scripture? Stuff like that. I think that's, like, you know, what really matters at the end of the day. And, you know, there are great Indian women. There are great Indian men. There are great African-American women and are great African-American men as well. And you just, and there are good people too, like, whether that be Indian or African-American, you know what I mean? So it's just about who you find and being able to make a good decision on your partner. I think those are the most important thing, just being very thoughtful and considerate of who you're choosing and making sure that, again, like the both of us have said, the our morals and values align, and are you just going to stay committed to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think being in a blendian and interracial relationship has taught you?
That's a good one. That's a great question. I've honestly learned so much. Oh my gosh, I've learned so much from my husband, and I've just grown and evolved so much as a woman from being with him. I'm already very, like, I've always been, I feel like as an adult, I've become a lot more empathetic and compassionate just from my own lived life experiences. But I think from being with my husband, I've learned even more so about people outside of our community, whether that be, like, you know, white Americans, Asian Americans, Spanish Americans, whatever the case may be. But I think just being more empathetic and compassionate even more than I already was since before we were together, that was, like, a big one. I think for so long, my whole life was, like, the Indian community. I didn't really have any, I think up until, like, college, I didn't really, like, go outside of our community. Mm-hmm. And so being with my husband, I, like, just learned so much about the world in general and how the world works. I'm very much, like, a businesswoman, and as an entrepreneur and as a real estate investor, I've learned so much about those fields because of him, mm-hmm. as far as things that he's known or things that have been taught to him or things that he's learned throughout his life based on his upbringing. So it's just so much. It's so hard to say. There's so much. I could go on and on, honestly. And I'm very grateful because I feel like even being with him has made me just such an even more well-rounded person than I already was.
I love that. It's clear you really admire him as a person and what his character is like. And that's so beautiful. Do you guys do business together?
We do. Yeah.
How is that? What is that like?
Girl, that is tough. I think that's the toughest part. I think the most challenges that we have is business. So we just work differently.
Okay.
And I think.
And for listeners, can you just share a little, like, what exactly do you guys do? What is your business about that you guys work together on?
So we invest in real estate together, and we have a settlement service company, which is still real estate related, but it's not like flipping or fixing up properties. And I think that, you know, when we started that, it was definitely a learning curve for the both of us. But my husband has had other businesses before I was with him. So he has a lot more experience as an entrepreneur than I do. So for someone who's a little bit more seasoned as an entrepreneur versus, like, someone who's, like, more of a newbie like myself, there's just, like, so much that I had to learn from him, but things that I didn't understand. And we used to, like, butt heads on. But I think it's just challenging when people just work differently, especially as someone who's not, I didn't have much experience as an entrepreneur. I didn't have any experience. I didn't even think I would ever be a business owner, to be honest.
Right.
Even though I love being a business owner now, I'm like, oh, I should have always thought that this is going to be the reality. But we work differently. My husband is, in a beautiful way, he's a workaholic. And I prioritize my rest a lot. And I'm going to sleep sometimes. And he's like, well, I'm staying up to get work done. And I'm like, well, you just do that. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I think more things like that have been more of a challenge for us, but we've definitely, like, grown so much together as entrepreneurs. And I think there's been tons of things that he's learned from me as well. And, you know, I think it's only made us stronger as a couple, to be honest.
Yeah. And then are you guys writing a book?
We are writing
Did
a
I
book.
See that?
Our book is okay. actually finished, but we're waiting for the right moment to drop it. The both of us okay. want some. If we had finished our book around the time that all of these things were going viral on Instagram, like that would have been the perfect time for us to like release our book, right? But we had no clue that any of that was going to happen. But we're trying to figure out when's going to be the right time. Is that going to be our 2-year wedding anniversary? Is that going to be a good time or what? So we're just playing around with that. We did write a book though, yeah. And it is about, you know, our relationship, especially coming from two different cultures, two different class yeah. backgrounds, you know. And so like how we have addressed some of our challenges together and how we make our marriage work and our relationship work.
You know, what would you say are like a few things that you guys do together that really keep the foundation of your marriage strong?
Yeah. So, you know, I did mention that I was a Christian. So mm-hmm. both of us are very intentional about our faith and our faith and praying together daily, reading scripture together weekly, church. That's like one thing that's like extremely important to the both of us that has like changed our, sorry, I don't know if you hear somebody at the door. I'm not sure. Our faith and making sure that we're aligned in our faith, spending a lot of quality time together, like going out date night. We do business together. So like talking about business or like the both of us are just really into like just investing and finance and things like that. So like we definitely talk about like what's going on in the world. What is Google doing or what's Apple doing? What are the stocks doing? Stuff like that are both interests of ours. So we definitely stay connected there. And the both of us are creatives. I'm a singer and a dancer and he's a singer. He's also used to do some.
Did you say he's a trainer?
He's a singer.
Oh, singer. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm a singer and a dancer.
Oh, cool.
He's a singer. He used to do some modeling and acting like back in the day too. So like just creatively, we're very connected that way as well. So we love to like watch shows, like plays or like comedy shows or if there's a concert and stuff like that. So those are like definitely ways that we stay connected.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And what advice would you have for others navigating interracial relationships?
Yeah. Be patient and be open-minded. I think those are two of the biggest things. Be patient and be open-minded. And what might be normal for you is not going to be normal for everybody else. I think like certain things I'll be like, oh, well, this is common sense. And, you know, my husband will be like, it's not common sense. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'd be like, oh, maybe you're right. Because that's how I was raised. So I'm just thinking everybody's raised this way. And that's not the truth. You know, not everybody's raised with certain things or knowing certain things and vice versa. I'm not raised knowing certain. There's the tons of stuff where he had to educate me. And I'm like, oh, wow, never knew that. So just be as open-minded as possible and patient and always receive your partner with love, no matter what.
I love that. Amazing. Well, I think that's about it. Thank you for being here, Genova. You know, I especially have a heart for connecting with other Malayali women who are just thriving and just like, you know, being authentic with living life on their own terms and breaking all the stereotypes and molds of what we're supposed to be doing or how we're supposed to be living. So thank you. I loved having you on our podcast today. Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah. Find me on Instagram or TikTok. My Instagram is Genova Julianne Pryor. And then on TikTok, I'm Genova Julianne. So, yeah, you can find me there.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.